Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. It's July 20th. I'm Brett Ford, your host, here with fantasy expert Scott Chu. Scott, how was your All-Star break? Did you have any downtime?
I mean, for this, yeah, sure. Right? Like, we both have twins, right? There's no downtime. Just there's times that you don't do certain things. So I wasn't doing a ton of baseball, though I did update the hitter list, which is weird because there's only like three games that happen. So I use this time to look at players who, so like Nick sort of recreates the list every single week, right? It's 100 players. He's a madman, right? I go through each tier and look at players that I'm like, all right, this guy's got to move. I move them around. And what happens over time is some dudes kind of creep up the list without ever actually doing anything, right? They just kind of like make their way up. And I'm like, how did you get up? Like, all of a sudden I'm looking at the tier. I'm like, how the heck did you get up?
Francisco Lindor, I feel like, is one of those that's like just.
So actually, yeah, he was a good example. All of a sudden he's like near my top 12. I'm like, wait a minute. I like Francisco Lindor. That's too high. And it's usually just because dudes ahead of him have gotten hurt or have fallen way back. And so he just kind of creeps up, and it only happens like one or two spots at a time, right? You actually see it the most around like that, like 120 to 80 range. Dudes will kind of just creep all the way up to, and people say like, oh, he's in your top 100 now. I'm like, here's the thing, that 80 to 120, that's like, it's not one tier, but it's not hard to move up through there. Cause that's where you really, those guys that fall 20, 30, 40 spots, that's either where they land or where they fall out of, right? So like they move a ton and it's all right in that range because that's getting pretty close to replacement level in most 10 to 12 team leagues. So there's a ton of movement in there, and you have to be like, all of a sudden, it's when a guy gets to like the top 75. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here? No. Let's correct this, especially because you'll find in those ranks of like 80 to 120, what we call the net change, like where you didn't do anything, but there's nine dudes ahead of you that either got hurt or had completely like lost a role, like totally fell out. The range is plus nine, right? So you can move through that tier really quickly just by like not being awful and not getting hurt. So I have to recorrect it a lot. So I use this time to sort of be like, all right, who's probably not where they should be, right? And try to break it down, because again, three games of action doesn't tell us a lot, except for one player. There's one player where three games was very, very instructive. We'll get to him later. But maybe it wasn't instructive, but it was like, okay, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we're looking for. But that only happens with high-level players, right? Guys were performing way outside of the expectations we had for them. Like, you're really good and you haven't been good. We were waiting for you to turn it back on. Those guys can move, but guys that like, we don't know much about or kind of just being as good as they are, a series will almost never change anything.
Well, let's jump right into it. We'll get to some news and notes here from MLB over the All-Star break and the past few games of the weekend. So Philadelphia third baseman Alec Bohm is headed to the IL. He's got a fractured rib, Scott. Probably nobody fantasy relevant stepping in Philadelphia, but where are we looking at third base potentially to replace Bohm?
Bohm, he'll probably be out like three or so weeks. I believe the guy they've got to replace him right now is Otto Kemp, which like that's not what you're going to do, right? Edmundo Sosa is also a guy like could make get time, or like Weston Wilson, but it doesn't. None of those guys matter. That's not what you're doing. You'll see Nick Castellanos move up in the order. That's like sort of meaningful. So he's a little bit more useful now than he was before on this team. That's actually very, very old. Like, I don't know if you realize, like all of the, now with Bohm out, all the top five guys in this order are above the age of 32. It's an old team. So with third base, it's been a tough position to fill, but not as tough as we thought it might've been entering the season. So you're probably looking for like, you know, what hot names are out there that have been doing something. Guys like Joey Ortiz, Lenin Sosa, not guys I love, but you can always stream them. You know, these are very streamable guys, or like, well, what are the matchups coming up? You know, I mean, we lost another third baseman who we were going to get to next, which is Isak Paredes. you know, I wish I could say like, oh, there's a bunch of obvious names to go grab on wires. I mean, one guy who's been hitting better, that's kind of interesting to me, Luis Rengifo. I thought he'd be a lot better this season. He's not stealing bases like he really should, but this Angels offense has been a little better than we thought recently. So he can be fairly useful. You've got Max Muncy, Sacramento one, Max Muncy. He is this all power, no contact kind of guy. So he's viable in a way, if you just want like that power, but he doesn't really do anything else. And I mean, this is not a name I love, right? Third base right now can be a tough position to fill. So hopefully you already had another guy who is eligible. He's sitting against lefties, or at least he did over this weekend. Yoan Moncada is around, right? Again, this is not an exciting name. In OBP leagues, he can fill a void. Now, he actually has a 513 slug over these 138 plate appearances this season. Granted, those plate appearances are split apart a lot. He's already been hurt twice for significant periods of time. But he's having a good week. He might buy you some time until you're ready to find someone actually good or make a move or something like that. But it is worth noting that it's going to be tough to fill third base if you've lost one of these two guys. And I wish this is something you could have, like, it's something you really wish you could have addressed weeks ago, I'm sure, but there haven't been that many great names. So yeah, third base, tough spot. I mean, I guess the other one who's been picked up in deep leagues, but might be kicking around shallow leagues. You know, Ryan McMahon's got another series at home if you need to kill some time. And I guess Noel V. Marte, he hasn't looked great. Like he's looked fine, but he's also available. So that's a handful of names, right? Lenin Sosa, Max Muncy, Noel V. Marte, Ryan McMahon for a series, Yoan Moncada, if you're desperate, that's like very, very deep leagues. Those names might buy you a little time.
You mentioned Paredes with a hamstring strain. He's probably out 2 to 3 weeks. So the Houston Astros will look into some depth there at corner infield. John Singleton getting the call, also not fantasy relevant. We'll take a look at some guys who are back from the injured list. Tampa Bay Rays second baseman Brandon Lowe, he returned from his oblique injury, but is now reportedly dealing with plantar fasciitis. He left yesterday's game. He's not playing on Sunday. Lowe is, you know, had a great first half. He hit a lot of home runs. He was arguably the best second baseman in the game for fantasy purposes over the second half or over the first half this year. What are we doing at second base, Scott?
Well, first, let me back you up there. He wasn't actually, it's not that, I mean, he ends up being one of the best over the half, but he was also like one of the worst for April, right? I mean, he was just miserable in April. He went off in May and June, which is part of his game. He's a very, very streaky hitter. The other problem with Lau is that these injuries are no surprise, right? He's got one season in his whole career, which began in the majors in 2018, where he's played more than 110 games, right? Like, to his credit, he played 56 of the 60 games in 2020. But in those other seasons, you've got 82, 65, 109, 107, 86. Outside of his 2001, that's where he played 149 and hit almost 40 home runs. So he struggled to stay healthy his entire career. So this injury, par for the course, right? What are you going to do? So you should, you should stick him on your IL if at all possible, because second base, we talked about third base is rough. Second base is brutal in terms of trying to find someone who can make like a real difference for you. There's just so little out there that's got any kind of excitement to it. Right. So if we're just looking at names, if you looked at your, like, who's been the best over the last 15 days, 30 days, it's going to show you Romy Gonzalez. And I'm going to tell you, don't do that. I think he's platoon for sure. He's lost a bunch of playing time with Alex Bregman back. That's not the way to go. Matt McClain coming back a little bit. So if he's been kicking around on the wire, that's an okay play. What else? I'm not a big fan of Angel Martinez. I think maybe in OBP leagues, but, or points leagues, he's like, okay, not great. Jorge Polanco brings some power. That's a guy I might look at. He could definitely do something for you. And then just, you know, again, in those deeper leagues or where the wire's kind of been picked clean, what about Nick Gonzalez, right? So his strikeout rate was terrible in the minor leagues. I thought he was going to kind of flame out, but he's really turned that around in this, you know, especially this season. Last season, he put up a 19.1% strikeout rate. This year, it's down to 15%. He's making a lot more contact. He doesn't have a huge amount of power. He's probably a guy that, like, in a full season could hit like 20 home runs, maybe. But, you know, it's enough, right? The Pirates offense is not good, but it's a second baseman who plays every day and he hits fourth, right? And he's got a better bat than the other guy who I made fun of for doing this, Andrés Giménez. Gonzalez doesn't steal bases, but again, he will hit for some power. And the few Pirates who get on base, Gonzalez might drive them in.
Well, another guy coming off the IL this week that might be able to fill in. I don't know if he's second base eligible. He's certainly middle infield eligible. Colorado infielder Ezequiel Tovar. Tovar finally back from the IL after missing a couple of weeks. And Scott, he was a guy that I know you were high on coming into the season. Is that some optimism that you're still holding on to?
Nobody was technically high on him. I wasn't super down on him, right? Like I said, he might not repeat what he did, but he should be fairly useful. And the big problems were that he struck out too much. Because he just swung too much. And everyone's like, oh, there's no way that, you know, Tovar repeats this kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, maybe, right? And so what's he do? He drops the strikeout rate significantly, right? I mean, like, it's down at 21.2%. Granted, he's only played in 34 games because he's had two extended stints on the IL, but he's looked good. I mean, he got the day off on Sunday because they wanted to just give him a breather, but he looked great. He had four hits in those first two games back. He's actually hitting lower in the order than he used to. I think that'll fix itself real quick. I think they're going to find they need Ezequiel Tovar hitting second or third for this team. They just don't have a lot of offensive weapons, but I think he's a very, very, a strong add as long as you don't need speed, right? This dude doesn't run much. I wouldn't expect him to. His WRC plus is always going to look bad, but he's going to hit for average. His OBP won't be great because he doesn't walk much. He's still aggressive, but he's making much better contact than he did last season. He's hitting the ball harder than he did last season. Right now, that exit velocity is up above 90 miles an hour. That's a big deal. Hard hit rate at 44.9% so far. That expected batting average per Savant, 311, X slug, 516. Like, all the marks are there, and people are still kind of pooping on him because of what happened last season where he kind of played above what he was showing us. But the skills are now meeting the skills he's showing now are the type of player who can do what he did last season, which was 26 home runs, a 269 batting average. Like last season, again, it was like, well, how's he going to do that with a 3.3% walk rate, 28.8% strikeout rate, and this, you know, not very good hard hit rate and all these other things. That was true, but now he's doing that stuff. So it's like, that is the type of player he can be. So he's a very viable plug-in at shortstop. He's only going to be eligible at shortstop for you, but if you need a middle infielder, Ezequiel Tovar, definitely one who may have hit the wire despite, you know, some promise that he's shown this season just because he's been hurt twice now.
The last guy coming back from the IL that may or may not be relevant depending on the depth of your league, St. Louis outfielder Jordan Walker. And Walker, obviously a guy who the industry has hyped and then given up on, and hyped and then given up on. Where are we with Jordan Walker? Is he relevant in your standard 12-team league?
If he ever gets the ball in the air, sure. Right? And I guess strikes out less. He's striking out a lot this season. That wasn't really as much part of his game in the past, but the ground ball rate still too high. He just hits too much stuff on the ground. And actually, when he has gotten the ball in the air this season, he's popped it up a lot, right? About twice as often as he had before. So we're not seeing the strong home run fly ball rate. This was once a top five prospect in the game due to elite power. And just getting to the majors, we just have not seen that, right? He is hitting the ball technically harder than he has before, right? It's a 47.5% hard hit rate. The launch angle's gotten a little better, but not great, right? He still hits too many fly balls the other way. He still hits too many grounders. He's really just going to have, like, I want to see that ground ball rate closer to like 40% for him to get enough fly balls to hit home runs at a rate that's at all useful. So I'm out on Jordan Walker. I guess in Dynasty, you can be like, well, he's only 23, right? Which is, he just turned 23. This is still a very young player. I'm not saying I'm out on him forever, right? But like the last time his rolling strikeout rate was anywhere close to 25% was at the end of last year, right? It's not anywhere near that now. So, I mean, if we see that player, if that strikeout rate comes way down, maybe he gets the ball in the air a little bit more, like there might be something there. But right now, it's too many strikeouts, too many ground balls, a lot of things that he needs to fix to become relevant. And I mean, I talk about it all the time. I'm fine if a dude needs to fix one thing, maybe like one and a half things, like one thing and another thing that's sort of related. Like this dude is not making enough contact. And when he does make contact, he's making too much bad contact. Right. So that's like two problems that are sort of related, but also a big freaking deal. Right. So it's hard to be in even at, you know, 23 years, 1 month, almost 23 years, 2 months. So like dynasty, maybe you can kick around the back of your roster, but it's too hard to get excited about this right now. He may be, you know, at this point, he's just a prospect that hasn't, you know, he gave us like this little flash towards the end of 2023 that was like, maybe this is it. And he's just never gotten back to it. So yeah, I can't get excited here at all.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more news and notes, including some guys that should be back soon from injuries and are headed out on rehab assignments. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm your host, Brett Ford, here with Scott Chu, talking bats on Pitcher List. We're going through our news and notes, and there are several names that are headed out on rehab assignments this week and should be back in the majors, returning from injuries over the next couple of weeks. There's Twins utility man Luke Keyshaw, Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Dalton Varsho, Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Johnny DeLuca, San Francisco Giants outfielder Gerard Encarnacion, Kansas City Royals infielder Michael Massey. Scott, are you watching any? Are any of these guys on your watch list? Are you interested in any of them when they come back, or are they just kind of waiver wire replacement level dudes?
So with Keyshaw, yes, right? I'm interested. He looked great when he was out there earlier. I think there's going to be room for him in this infield somewhere for the Twins, right? Like I'm not exactly sure who it's going to be, right? Maybe Cody Clemens loses a little time and maybe Willie Castro goes to the outfield and Matt Wallner loses more time. Yeah, it's just going to be a mix. Like maybe Carlos Correa gets hurt again. Who knows, right? But I think Keyshaw definitely has a place in that lineup. He's someone that you should definitely be looking at. He also gives them a right-handed bat they so sorely need. So, you know, that's good for him. I think, again, second base has been tough. He's a guy who might be able to help you over the course of the second half. Dalton Varsho over in Toronto, look, he got hot for a little while. He had cooled off quite a bit before he got hurt. Him coming back, what that really does is, I mean, the guy who loses the most is Joey Loperfido. He probably gets sent back down. Another guy, I'm wondering how much room they'll make for Nathan Lukes, who's moved up to the leadoff spot for this team lately against right-handers. He sits against lefties. And again, I mean, I don't think Lukes is necessarily like a huge talent, but he is another lefty and so is Varsho, right? So they can't platoon together. So what happens then, right? I mean, like this whole outfield as of now is left-handed and the guy coming in to join them is also left-handed, right? Lukes, Loperfido, Barger, all left-handed. So we'll see what kind of happens there, how they work that out. Varsho is a streamer at best with like a little bit of upside on those hot streaks, but I'm telling you, he gets hurt a lot. He's very streaky. So, you know, don't put all your eggs in the Dalton Varsho basket. In fact, if you've been reading the hitter list, I probably would have told you to let him go, right? There's plenty of outfielders in those 10 and 12 team leagues. Even if you need five of them, there's probably ones that are going to be close to that level on the wire. So not crazy excited, but he might do enough to become like back of the list relevant. If he's hot again, they're letting him hit anywhere near like the top 2/3 of the order. Johnny DeLuca over for Tampa. No, I mean, that outfield's already a mess, right? He just makes it messier. I don't think this hurts Chandler Simpson. That's like the news of that. Like, I think Chandler Simpson stays very active there, but like Mangum, Josh Lowe, those guys might, you know, kind of see some in, you know, some time in, some time out. Like those are, you know, it doesn't necessarily, like, we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but it's just going to stay messy. But Chandler Simpson, I do think, stays top of that lineup, at least against righties. Against lefties, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Everybody on that team's left-handed that can play the outfield. So, I mean, Caballero maybe gets, it's harder for him to get in if you've been using him for steals. You're not using Morel, so it doesn't really matter. And then Gerard Encarnacion, he did not look good when he came in. I was a little bit excited about him in the preseason. He's got power, right? Big power. But he's also got some contact issues, as many of these guys do. I'm not entirely sure where he'll play either, right? Like, he's mostly just a DH, and that spot's full, right? They got Devers there. I don't think they're ready to move Devers to first base, right? And even if they did, Encarnacion would still probably be a platoon bat. He's a righty. He might platoon with like Dom Smith, who's been on again, off again, mostly only plays against righties. Yeah, there's just not really like a good spot for him, right? So, I mean, they already have Wilmer Flores on the bench, who's a much more consistent hitter than Encarnacion. Doesn't have the power, but he's consistent. So I think he's out. And then Michael Massey, he wasn't relevant before he got hurt in 10 or 12 teamers. He's not relevant after.
So that was a long answer to say pretty much just Luke Keyshaw is the guy we should be looking for here. And the rest of them, they can kind of hang out on 12 team waiver wires.
Luke Keyshaw's fine. Nathan Lukes might lose time. And the Rays outfield is going to get even messier, which is mostly an impact to like Caballero.
We'll take another quick break. We'll be back with Scott's top 150 hitter list after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu. We're here to talk Scott's top 150 hitters list every week. Scott updates his list of the top 150 hitters in fantasy baseball. We're here to talk some risers. We're here to talk some fallers. But first, we're going to start with the guys who have risen up the ranks. Scott, we're going to go to Seattle where outfielder Julio Rodriguez has flipped the switch again like he does every year and just decides that he's going to actually play up to his talent level for a stretch. It always seems to happen in the second half, and I think we might be seeing it again. He's up 14 spots, number 27. He's in tier 5. I know he did it against your Tigers, but talk to us about Julio Rodriguez.
Good Lord, he hit the ball hard that series. Just everything he put his bat on looked like it was going to go. He had two steals today, Sunday, with a run and an RBI. Here's the thing. He was playing he was actually playing just fine in terms of like overall baseball. And even for fantasy, like he was pretty much a top 20 outfielder before he really started hitting the ball well. We did see him start take a lot more walks recently. Now, some of that's going to be because when teams are seeing him hit for power, they're going to stay the heck away from him, right? But that's what was missing from the game, right? We were missing the power. Like, he hit 3 home runs in that series, 1 each game. That's as many as he had coming up to that point in 2 months, right? Like, that was all he had. And then he hits 3 of them right there in succession, just a massive weekend. Stole 2 bases there too, stole another one today. So the speed's picking up. Look, I don't believe so much in like first half, second half. It's convenient, but like, I doubt there's anything that, if it was as simple as getting a week off, teams would just give a dude a week off. Right? Like, there's nothing necessarily all that crazy going on. And players who we say have this happen to them end up sort of not continuing that trend for long. Right? Like, yes, Julio Rodriguez has done it for like 2 or 3 seasons now, but that's only 2 or 3 seasons out of a career that I think will be much longer than that. Right? So don't buy too much into the halves thing. I love that he's kept the strikeout rate down all year. I love that he's showing us some power, right? He's going to be better than he was last season, which was a 20 home run, 24 stolen base guy. He hit 270. I think he can be a bit better than that because I think we'll have better counting stats than that, right? I think he can push 90 to 100 runs. I think he can push like 80 to 90 RBI. I think he can steal some more bases than just the 24. I think he'll hit a couple more home runs than that. So I think there's a lot here, and he moves up because that's the guy I was alluding to before. Players with the ability to be the best in baseball for a month or two, like, that's not everybody. Anyone can be good for a month or two. Someone can even be very good. But to be like best in baseball for like a whole half, that's like Julio Rodriguez level talent. So, I'm not saying that's what he's going to be. I'm saying he's got that upside. That's why we've been telling you hold all year. It's like, look, yeah, it hasn't been great. It hasn't been worth what you paid, but you weren't going to get that money back anyway, right? You already spent it. So see what you get. He's not had that many negative weeks on the season, actually, right? He's had like a lot of lackluster weeks, but nothing negative really. So, we're excited about this power speed combo. We're excited that this offense is really heating up. It's not just the fighting Cal Raleigh's hitting a bazillion home runs. So that's something. I mean, it's something to be excited about, but again, it's not so much the half thing. Right, it's not about it being the second half as much as it is, for whatever reason, Julio Rodriguez has had really long adjustment periods.
We'll move on to the NL Central, where Michael Busch continues to rise in your rankings. He's a top 50 hitter now, Scott. He's in tier 7. He's ranked number 44 overall, up 8 spots this week. Why is Michael Busch a top 50 hitter?
Well, it's a couple of things, right? So number one, he's leading off now. for this team, at least. I mean, he's still, so look, he still sits against a lot of lefties. That's actually fine, because if he wasn't, you'd probably be getting a lot more pain than you would, you know, pleasure out of those starts against lefties. But here's what's really exciting for me. So what we saw last year with Michael Bush was a lot of like, he'd be pretty good for a while, and then he'd be pretty bad for a while. Then he'd be pretty good for a while, and he'd be pretty bad for a while. That starts to change this season, in that those low points, like he had one extended low point, which is basically like the month of May this year, right? So in the month of May this season, he hit 234, only two home runs, just like not very good. But, you know, I always like to say, like, oh, look, sometimes we want to see, like, what's the next slump, right? Like, that's the next thing I want to know. What does the next slump look like? So after he comes up and has another high period, which is basically a very, very good June, we see him dip down again, but only a little bit, right? Like, if you look at the rolling WRC plus, it never actually goes below 100 in this little dip, and then comes back to really the best we've ever seen him coming through July so far. So he's hitting, and you know, this team context is very good. We've seen him jump. He went from batting fifth to first. You know, we saw it the first time in that last weekend before the break. We saw it, yeah, as he came back. We saw two more of those. He sat today against a lefty, but we've seen him hitting first. There's a lot of potential here with Michael Bush, even as a platoon guy. So yeah, he's in the top 50. He's really, you know, Kerry Carpenter comes to mind in terms of like, a platoon guy can be a top 50 hitter, right? It's possible. It's not easy, but it's possible. And the most important part about it, which is why Kerry Carpenter isn't in there anymore, is those slumps have to be short. And I'm really excited about seeing him quickly adjust to whatever was bugging him towards the end of June to really come back. Now he does that. Like every time he does that now, it's going to get more and more exciting. Cause I'm like, that means the slumps ain't sticking around like they did before for like a whole month.
We move on to the hitter that has risen the most in your rankings this week. He's up 37 spots. He's in tier 11, ranked 90th overall. He's in the top 100 for the first time in his career. Roman Anthony from the Boston Red Sox is ranked number 90. Why isn't this an overreaction, Scott?
So first of all, 90 is not like that much above the replacement level, right? So, but a couple things going on with Roman Anthony. The strikeout rate's been really strong, right? He's walking more. He's striking out less. He's getting a lot of balls in play. He's hitting second or third for this team, right? He moved down to fourth, I think, today. He was second today. He moved down to fourth against a lefty because he is left-handed. Look, when it's all about like what talent do we think he has, right? So this was like a top three prospect in all of baseball, right? Regardless of like fantasy, non-fantasy, that's what he is. He's got great bat speed. He's got regular speed. He's got power. He can do a lot of things. So when we see him showing signs of being ready to be like a major league contributor, we get a lot more excited than we would like some other dude. Right. And let's be clear. This guy's average exit velocity is 94 miles an hour, right? His hard hit rate is 56.1% in his first 82 batted balls in the majors. I'm not counting Sunday's action, but I'm pretty sure he hit some more hard ones today. He had two more hits. He's showing us all the things that we thought he could be, and he's doing it really early right now. Could this be another, like, you know, Christian Campbell situation who got hot and then totally cooled off, didn't come back? That's possible, right? It's hard to say. You know, he started out with the slump and now he's coming up. The big thing we're going to learn is the next slump. How long is that going to last, right? That's like probably the most important next thing we're going to learn. But if it's short, I'm way underrating Roman Anthony, right? If it's long, then he probably slips back like away from that top 100 a bit, but he's going to stay ranked most likely because it's just a ton of talent. This guy is, again, there's a reason he's an elite prospect. It's power, it's speed. He's hitting in the middle of the order. Yeah, sure, this Red Sox offense isn't as good as we thought it would be coming into this season, but it's good enough for a guy who hits second and third to pile up a bunch of RBI in that time. So you be excited, right? He's not on your waiver wires anymore. That's fine. Just be excited because he's showing us the things that made him a top three prospect in the league. Like, you know how few guys come out, get 82 batted balls and have a 94 mile per hour average exit velocity? That's nuts. Especially when you're what, 21 years old? Like, that, I mean, that's legit insane. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's left. I mean, he's got so many things that you want in a player, and he's showing them to us right now. So that's why he gets to jump up, where other players who might have a similar hot streak but don't have that pedigree, they don't get that kind of bump.
Is Roman Anthony a kind of guy that you could see make a James Wood-like jump maybe next year, or, you know, second half of next year?
James Wood's a tough comp specifically because he's just got nuts home run power, whereas Roman Anthony might not he'll hit the ball like as hard, but maybe not as hard up in the air. Right. He's not like he hits like more ground balls than that, more line drives. Like, his fly ball rates, even in the minors, were pretty low. So he might not have that kind of home run rate, but in terms of just like overall production, like, yeah, we could see Roman Anthony take a big leap like that. The plate discipline has looked good. Every bit as good as advertised. Again, I'd love to see him hit the ball in the air a little more, because he hits the ball really hard. And it's a 57.3% ground ball rate that I think's been getting a little better as he goes. That'll get a lot more out of that 94 mile an hour average exit velocity. But, you know, we'll kind of just have to see. I don't want to project him with that kind of like 30 home run power. James Wood's in my pretty much in my top 10 right now. So I don't want to call it like that strong, but could he be a top 50 player by mid-August? Absolutely.
Well, we'll move on to our last riser of the week. He's up 10 spots into tier 12, ranked number 99 overall, and that's Texas outfielder Adelis Garcia. And really, it looks like the key to his rise has been better decision-making. Scott, are those better decision-making skills here to stay?
There's no reason they shouldn't be, right? He's been around the league for a long time. He's shown he can make good decisions. Especially early in his career, he got away with not having to make great decisions because the bat, I think, was just a little bit quicker. I think that he was able to cheat a little more and get away with it. That's just not the case. Like, we've seen, the zone contact was never that good. He's one of those guys that stayed below 80% all the time. And eventually, like, that really just starts to catch up with you. So, you know, do I think it's here to stay? I mean, I don't know if it's permanent. I know it's here right now, and he's showing us again things that this isn't like new stuff. Right. It's like stuff that we already thought he could do. We already thought he could be a 25, you know, home run hitter. And we thought he could hit better than the 224 he had last year if he cut down the strikeouts. And he did. Right. I mean, not at the beginning of the year, but he's now kept that rolling strike. You know, so you see it in June, in the beginning of June, you see Adolis Garcia's strikeout rate really peak, right? Like, rolling strikeout rate was like 40% or something like that. And they actually gave him some time off. Right. They said, hey, you're going to sit on the bench. There's some things we want to work on with you, presumably decision-making, right? Cause he was not doing well with it. He's gotten a lot better with it. I think it doesn't necessarily stick around forever and make him just this great ceiling, but it certainly raises that floor. Like, if he keeps making good decisions, even just average decisions, they're not going to need to bench him for 5 days, right? Or whatever it was. So, you know, that's what he's doing, what we want to see. He can hit the ball pretty hard. He can hit home runs. This offense is getting a bit better, especially with, Corey Seager getting back in the game and really showing what he can do. His expected stats are as good as they've ever been, really. There's enough here to say, you know, the fly ball rate's really good. There's enough here to say, like, I'm willing to buy in as a back end outfielder, and let's see what happens, because he almost certainly got cut in leagues several times this season. So I think he can stick around this like 80 to 120 range. But he does have a bit lower floor than maybe some other guys in this range, just because if he loses that decision-making, there's not enough other skills to keep him out of the basement.
Excellent. Well, that covers our risers this week. We'll be back after a quick break with fallers, guys who have dropped in Scott's rankings, after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm your host, Brett Ford, here with Scott Shue, talking Scott's top 150 hitters list, talking bats on pitcher list. And Scott, we're going to jump into the fallers from this week. And immediately there's a red flag for me. I feel like I need to do a wellness check, because Riley Green dropped 7 spots in your rankings. Are you okay? Did Nick Pollock make you do this?
Nick Pollock would never make me do this. He really wants Riley Green to be good too. So it's just... It's the volatility, right? The strikeout rate kicked way back up again. You know, the rolling strikeout rate right now is, it's not quite 40%, but it's close, right? So he's been a top 15. You know, he's been able to keep the WRC plus mostly up, but it fell off just so steeply. And, you know, he did hit a home run so far. Like, he hit two home runs right before he went on break. He hit another one when we came back. But even if you watched the All-Star game, you saw it. There's holes in this swing, right? There's just, pitchers are able to find places that it's hard. I know I've talked about it every week. They find places that it's hard for that uppercut swing to get to. So he's still, I think, working through that. Again, the adjustments have worked out okay, right? Like, every time he's bounced back up, it's been as high as it was before, which tells me, like, I have a general idea of what this guy's ceiling is. When he's hot, he's like, for an extended period of time, a top 10 hitter in the league, right? We just also know that the drops can come very, very suddenly. And the adjustment periods aren't necessarily long, but it happens really harsh. So I had to drop him just a little bit just to sort of address this, you know, this volatility. But again, I dropped him to 25th, right? Like, that's still an awfully good player with upside, right? I mean, like, he could very well get back into the top 20, especially if, like, these, he may spike these strikeout rates, but if he keeps, the more he, like, sort of manages these high strikeout rates with quick turnarounds, the more I'm going to stop caring about the strikeout rate spikes. Cause I'm like, all right, he's done it like once or twice now. So, like, a third time, a fourth time, those just make me even more comfortable to say, I don't care if Riley Green striking out, right? Cause I've now seen him multiple times get through this, exactly this. And I know how long it's going to take, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I was discussing Riley Green with a friend outside of the industry, and we kind of came to the conclusion that he reminds us of a poor man's left-handed Aaron Judge. Like, he hits the ball for crazy amounts of power when he's hot and just kind of goes through these weird lulls where everybody's like, oh my gosh, is he still a good player? And then he goes back to just mashing.
Yeah. I think the part that's definitely true, I mean, I'd love to just compare him to Aaron Judge all the time. The part that's really true is how ugly those strikeouts look when they're happening, right? Because they're like these big uppercuts at balls he had just no chance at hitting that way, right? You're just like, oh, just swing the ball flat, you know, swing the bat flat like they teach little leaguers, and you'd get it. And it's like, because he'll swing at stuff that's up, and with that uppercut, you got to really get in front of it to get it out. I mean, which they can, they'll send those a long way. But when you miss, it looks terrible because you miss it by like a foot, because you're actually, it's not that you're swinging too low, it's that you're late, right? Because you're not giving that bat enough time to get up to that ball and meet it where it is. So it looks like when the ball crosses where the bat is, it's way above, but it's only because you're late and you're not getting the bat up. So I think a lot of it is timing and decision-making. So I think it'll get there. His ceiling's not quite as high, of course, but when they're ugly, that's what they look like, is tons of strikeouts and ugly uppercut swings at stuff they had no busy taking an ugly uppercut swing at.
We'll move on to tier six. Arizona first baseman Josh Naylor has fallen 11 spots. He's down to number 39 overall, still a top 40 hitter. But why is Naylor falling just a little bit in your ranks this week?
Yeah, it's really just to match his overall production. One thing that's really weird with Naylor is he's walking a ton. Like, over the last like 2 or 3 weeks, he's walking twice as much as he strikes out, which is extremely strange for a guy with a career walk rate under 8%. Right? Like, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. Right? What I do know is that the power is slowed down pretty considerably from what we saw kind of through like June. It's been about a month now where the production has just sort of been down. And Josh Naylor was never going to repeat what he did last season. He hit 31 home runs that mostly came from just a crazy first half. That's not going to happen again, but we are seeing the batting average back up, right? I think he'll keep hitting for average. I think he will hit home runs, but not like he did last season. Right, not 30, but he should probably end the year with like around 20-ish, which is what he did in 2022 and 2023, more or less. But yeah, it's just getting a better feel for what this guy is. Again, I'm still flabbergasted by all these walks. The problem is I don't really want Josh Naylor walking. Like, sure, he's got 11 steals this year, which is, you know, a career high for him through just 89 games. But what I want him is doing is hitting the ball. That's the thing he's good at, right? Like, that's like smacking line, like some line drives, some fly balls, getting the ball out of the yard. That's what I need him doing. He's not going to do that walking. It's going to help the ratios a bit, but for now, he's going to be this like 20. Again, look back at what he did in 2022 and 2023, and then just try to add like 20 or 30 games to that. That you'll sort of see that he's like a 20-ish home run hitter who can get a bunch of RBI because he gets to hit in the middle of the order. He'll have a really, I mean, he can have really nice ratios, like 280 to 300 is very much like reasonable. The OBP might be better than we thought because, you know, he's walking a whole bunch for no particular reason. But yeah, Josh Naylor has to drop down a bit because the ceiling just wasn't, I was looking at the guys around him and I'm like, Josh Naylor's ceiling just isn't like these guys, right? He's not that good, right? Like I looked at all of them and I said, if someone offered me Josh Naylor for any guys in this tier, it's no, right? Like, or at least like the, like, you know, I did that like six or seven times and he dropped seven spots. I'm like, no. Like I wasn't really, you know, I don't want to say I wasn't considering it, but I'm like, I have to come up with too many scenarios where Naylor is the guy I want in this situation, right? And these scenarios are a little bit too abstract and too niche for this to work. So I had to just move him to a place that felt a little bit more comfortable. So yeah, 11, it was 11 spots, but yeah, it was just, he needed to move a bit just because the ceiling, I mean, it's a high floor. His floor was as good as any of those guys, but the ceiling wasn't there.
Well, let's take a look at tier 8. Or at number 56 overall, where down 17 spots is Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Andy Pages. And one of the real reasons for Pages' rise in the first place was the opportunity that he was getting. He was hitting as high as fourth in the Dodgers lineup. And I don't know if he's still up there, if he's down in this. I think he's back down to like 6-7 in the lineup for the Dodgers on most days. Scott, what else is going on with Andy Pages that has him dropping 17 spots this week?
So the lineup stuff is a big deal for Pages. that was part of it, like his rise to power, so to speak. I mean, it was also the insane results, right? But he did have to move down a little bit more just because he wasn't showing us exactly what we needed. And really what's happened, if you look at the top 150 hitters for fantasy baseball week 16, which we call the hitter list. I have to sort of remind myself, it's not actually called that anywhere, just what it is. It's the top 150 hitters for fantasy baseball 2025, week 16. Andy Pages was making about league average decisions and doing awesome with it. And then they all went away, right? It's very abrupt. The decision-making just drops off the face of the earth. He's making, you know, 10th percentile decisions right now. As of this article, which was I wrote over the break, it's not really gotten better in just three games. But with that down there, he's going to lose a lot of potential value, right? I'm hoping he just bounces it back up. But the longer he stays down here, the more he falls on the list because Andy Pages does not have the kind of elite bat speed to get away with making those kinds of bad decisions consistently and still being a fantasy asset, especially what he looked like hitting the middle of that order. And again, he doesn't need to be a superb decision maker. I need Pages to be an average decision maker. He did all that production as an average decision maker. Get back up to average, Pages, and then we're back to talking about an easy top 50 kind of hitter.
Let's take a look now in tier 12. We'll drop down to 104 overall. Down 21 spots this week is Kansas City Royals infielder Mikel Garcia. And for the month of July, Scott, I watching him has been like the meme of that one stick figure guy that's holding a stick that's, you know, poking the thing. He's just do something. Come on, do something.
Yeah. And that's what we're hoping. Like, that's what we keep waiting for. Right. So Mikel Garcia, people have always been waiting for power breakouts. And it's funny because at the beginning of the season, they see it, right? At the beginning of the season, he'll hit like two home runs in the first like couple of days of the season. And they'll be like, here it comes. It's time. It's victory lap time. Mikel Garcia, the power's coming. And then it just doesn't, it stops. So he has 8 home runs so far this season. That's a career high. just 97 games to set a new career high. The problem for Michael Garcia is the power's gone, right? So he has not hit a home run since, let me double check here, June 18th, right? So June 18th, his last home run. He's hit a handful of doubles since then because he's fast. But, you know, that's it, right? No home runs. A couple stolen bases. Like, he'll always steal bases. He's getting caught a lot this season. But Michael Garcia will steal bases, right? It's kind of harder to do bat and forth, but, I mean, there's not a ton of hitters in this offense, so they kind of just need to steal wherever they can. When he's not, if there's not going to be power there, you're looking at average and speed in a bad offense, right? Not super exciting. So he takes a tumble and he's going to kind of stay down until we see any kind of power again, right? Which the problem for Michael Garcia is it's not like he's always hit for power and now he's not. It's quite the opposite. It's he never really hit for power and then he was for a bit and now it's really exciting again. And then he's back to sort of being what he's always been, which in his career, he's got a 370 slug, right? So what does it look like for him to come back? I'm not sure. I mean, he's got to hit a couple home runs a month, right? Not a ton. He can be very valuable. Michael Garcia is very valuable hitting 15 home runs a year, right? Like that would be phenomenal. That would also be double his previous career high and just about double of what he's got now. And so I'm considerably skeptical that Michael Garcia can do that. He takes a dive here. Again, if we see the power come back, and it doesn't need to be a bunch of power, right? We're talking like three home runs a month. If he can show us like three home runs a month kind of power, Michael Garcia, again, he can hit for average, steals bases. This offense is looking a little bit better lately with Bobby Witt sort of kind of getting a bit better. There's stuff there, but without power, Michael Garcia becomes a much, much less interesting player to hold on to, especially with the number of guys that can steal bases in the majors today.
We'll move on to a bat that does not lack power. However, is still struggling to hit home runs this year. And he's down to tier 13, 124 overall, down 21 spots this week. It's Atlanta Braves designated hitter, Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah. This has been a tough one because we're talking to a guy who's been so good the last several seasons. He did hit a pair of home runs right before the break. And there was a hope that maybe that was something, right? Because they were the first home runs he had hit since mid-June. He's sitting right now. He was a pinch hitter for two games. He was a DH today again. So he's back in the starting lineup, but he didn't do anything. Like, spoiler alert, if you haven't looked at the box scores for Sunday yet, he went 0 for 4 with a strikeout. What's weird is that the underlying numbers, in a sense, look fine, right? Like, this isn't some like crazy drop off in hard hit rate or average exit velocity. It's basically the same as it was in 2023, right? Now, the expected stats are lower than that, but like, they're not bad, right? His expected slug is like, again, I'll use Savant because it's right in front of me, 264 expected average. 481 expected slug, right? And Marcell Ozuna hits the ball to all fields. So it's like, it's not as though I expect pitcher list to have a much better one. Like, I'll look that up, but it's not this obvious thing where it's like, oh, it'd be a lot easier for us if we could just point and just be like, oh, look, right? His average exit velocity is way down. Something's obviously wrong. Like, danger. What's going on? And so, you know, I did check. It's like 254 expected average, 456 expected slug. So it is a big dip down from last season, but still in line with like 2022, where he was he was still quite good then, not this, you know, sandbag on your roster, right? Like, he hit 23 home runs that season in 124 games. He missed some time. There were at times usefulness, but like, those expected stats would be fine. They're not what we're getting, right? His slug right now is under 400. Sure, he's walking a whole bunch, but I don't care, right? Marcell Ozuna being on base is not what helps me, right? Because he's not going to do anything on the bases. Marcell Ozuna doesn't run. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. So, I'm super concerned he continues to fall until we see like an outburst, right? Again, this is the kind of guy that can hit 5 home runs in 10 games, but we're not seeing that. And the more we don't see it, it falls down. The more interesting story right now, though, that is sort of piquing my interest, and it may get him ranked again, but I haven't decided yet. That's Ozzie Albies. So busted out of the break, Ozzie Albies goes and hits home runs in back-to-back games, right? Puts up 9 RBI in the 2 games back from the break, and even stole a base, which again, very exciting. Now, the problem, I'd really love to say like, oh, hey, he's back, right? Ozzie Albies is back. But like, let's be very clear. Ozzie Albies hasn't been good since 2023. Like, that's a long time ago, folks. Like that's a long time. He was bad in 24. He's been bad this season, right? In fact, he's been worse this season. Oh, and remember how I said he was good in 2023? He was bad in 2022 as well, right? He was hurt and bad. And then he was good. And then he was hurt and bad. And then he was bad. So I really like Ozzie Albies has shown us that he's never going to give us these like gaudy expected stats, right? Even in his best seasons, his hard hit rate was under 40%. His average exit velocity was safely below 90 miles an hour, right? His expected stats just don't jump off the page, right? Like he's never like this stat cast darling. And so the fact that he's not this year says like, well, maybe he is back and, you know, he's never going to excite us on, you know, in the box scores, but, or in the, you know, in the graphs and the charts, but he can get the results. That's possible. Is it worth streaming? Sure. Second base has been terrible, right? It's a horrible, if Ozzie Albies is back, then he represents one of the best possible second basemen you can have. Many projection systems, like the ones you can get on FanGraphs, they're not updating their projections daily. So they tend to keep players that they projected well at the beginning of the season to be towards the top. They still project him as a top 5 second baseman rest of the way, right? And that's very reputable projection sources. That's not necessarily a fault of the projection source, right? Because historically, that is exactly what we expect Ozzie Albies to be. But he's also just shown us, he was projected to be that good last season, and he wasn't. He was projected to be that good many times, and he hasn't always been, right? We've seen so much more of the not useful Ozzie Albies than the useful one in the last 4 years that it's really hard to say this is anything more than a stream. Ozzie Albies is not currently in my top 150 hitters. He might sneak into the back end if I see another game or two of anything, right? But like getting 9 RBI in 2 games, that's not so much a skill thing as it is an opportunity, right? You need 9 base runners on when you're up, right? Like it's not just like you can will RBIs into existence. You need your teammates to do something. You have to understand this was 9 RBI and 3 hits, right? Like that's pretty insane to do, right? So I'm not, yes, so he has some home runs lately. That's interesting. They weren't even like that hard hit home runs, right? Like I think one of them was in like the low 90 mile per hour sort of range and just kind of snuck out. All this hemming and hawing to say, maybe I rank Ozzie Albies in like the last 10 for now. But that's, and I might not, right? 2 bad games between now and when I start writing it, and I don't. And I just give him a fresh blurb in the taxi squad that's like, hey, he did some stuff. Go ahead and stream him, right? But right now he's in the same range as like Mickey Moniak. I'm like, Mickey Moniak, it's just, he's hot right now, but you're going to cut him. Like it's going to happen. You're going to cut him in a couple, like within the next few weeks, it's going to happen. And that's okay, right? Use it while you got it. That's all I can say about Ozzie Albies right now.
I mean, you talk about Albies being projected as a potentially top 5 second baseman the rest of the way, but I'm looking at him and, you know, it's I'm having a hard time getting past, like, who would you rather have for the rest of the season? Matt McClain or Ozzie Albies? Like
McClain.
Right. And McClain probably isn't even projected to be a top 10 guy the rest of the way.
I didn't like McClain all that much earlier in the season. Right. So, I mean, I think that is like sort of an interesting game to play, right? Which is why it's going to be hard for me to say like, oh yeah, look at, you know, all these, you know, all these people should be dropping everything to go get Ozzie Albies. And I mean, that's just not true, right? Like I'm looking at the guys who have been top performers in the first half. Like, I don't think I'm ready to, I'm certainly not ready to drop Mikel Garcia for Ozzie Albies yet. Right. Like maybe Zach McKinstry because I just don't believe that much in McKinstry anyway, and probably just had him as a streamer, even though he's been the seventh best second baseman on the year. So there's that, I guess. Like Willie, I'd cut Willie Castro for him, right? I'd cut Willie Castro for Ozzie Albies. Ernie Clement, sure, yeah, I do that.
I mean, I'm going up your list, and I'm seeing guys like Xavier Edwards, Otto Lopez, Xander Bogaerts, McKinstry, Caleb Durbin from the Milwaukee Brewers, Bryson Stott. I mean, Durbin, Stott, and like you said, Castro, and probably like Tyler Freeman from the Colorado Rockies are guys that I would probably cut to take a chance on Albies, just because Albies' ceiling is, I guess, higher, but I don't like it.
Yeah, maybe Freeman, I guess, right? Like maybe, right? It because the floor, I mean, we're talking about a super low floor for Ozzie Albies. I mean, and you know what the floor is. It's what he's been up to now, right? Which is a 77 WRC plus. Like, that's not a rosterable player, right? Like, that's the problem. And the metrics point a lot more towards him being close to that than it does close to him being that 30 home run, 15 stolen base guy he was a couple years ago.
We just spent about, 10 minutes on Ozzie Albies. You know, we must have missed baseball, man. I mean, we had like 3 whole days without a baseball game. We're like, we need to talk about Ozzie Albies.
Well, like, to be fair, to our credit, Ozzie Albies was once a budding superstar in this league, right? Like, right before we got Ronald Acuna Jr., we got Ozzie Albies. And again, he looked like a star. He's got 2 seasons with 30 home runs. Right. Unfortunately, they're like 2021 and 2023. And every day that goes by, those get a little further back. But, you know, if I'm going to project him like rest of the season, right, I think it's better than what he's been, which is 9 home runs, 8 stolen bases and a freaking 224 batting average. But like, what's he going to hit? 250 ish. Right. That's what he did last season. So last season he hit 250. I think he can end the season with like 17 to 19 home runs, 13 to 15 stolen bases, and hit 250 the rest of the way, which means like he'll have hit like high 230s, low 240s by the end of the year. What is that? Right? Like what? That's a replacement level player in 10 and 12 team leagues. So again, when a guy who's sort of been replacement level for the last 2 seasons, granted he's missed time in there, like, yeah, if he's hot, pick him up and stream him. But if he's cold again for 2 weeks, he's gone. You gotta cut him. So I'm doing this hemming and hawing out loud because I feel like people are doing this on their own too, because he's been cut in leagues. Like even someone in the chat has mentioned he got cut. I cut him, right? Like Jordan Earhartier's like, I cut him. I had him back yesterday. And the only fear with that, Jordan, is what if that's all there was? Just that part he was gone, like just our luck. Right? Like what if that was the bit that was good and like the before and after is not. So yeah, I'm hemming and hawing a lot because you should be too. And that means he's a streamer for you. Like sure. NL only, super deep leagues. Go ahead. If he got cut, Scoop, you probably didn't even get cut in the first place because you're desperate. I still have him in my NL only. Like I drafted my NL only for Tout. Right. And I've had to keep him because what choice do I have? Right.
Can't add Zach McKinstry there.
No, there's no start. Like there's nobody that plays on the wire, right? There's like 10 hitters on the wire that'll get like 6 at bats a week. Right. So that's tough. And when, you know, someone's now asked about Michael Harris II and did he hit home run? Yeah, he did. Another player who's like woefully underperforming. And quite frankly, he's had a rolling WRC plus under 100 the entire season, except for like one day in June. There was one day in June that his rolling WRC plus went above 100. Part of that is because he doesn't walk. part of that is because he's hitting 211 with a 236 OBP this season with 7 home runs and only 12 steals. But yeah, also, right, his good season was back in 2023, right, and 2022. The guy we've seen from 2024 onward, mostly bad, right? So do I think the Braves are just bad? No, but I do fear that these guys are – adjustment period shouldn't last 2 years. They're young players. They should have adjusted by now. And the fact that they haven't is extremely concerning to me.
Well, Scott, that about wraps up our week for Hacks and Jacks. Tell the folks where they can find you and your work.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at If The Chew Fits, If The CHU Fits. You can find on Blue Sky at scottchew.pitcherlist.com. I'm on Reddit, chewsif/Esquire. We weren't able to do an AMA this last week because the auto mod shut me down. It was very sad. Hopefully going to be able to connect with the mods of the Fantasy Baseball subreddit to get that back going, but it's a nice subreddit they got over there. So r/fantasybaseball, lots of good conversation going on there. And then, you know, obviously I'm just going to call it Wednesday night, Thursday-ish, Wednesday night through midday Thursday. That's when the top 150 hitters will post. Got another one coming this week. So, you know, keep an eye out for it. And, you know, please reach out. We don't allow comments on the sites anymore. So if you have comments, you want to ask something, share something, reach out to me on social media, because I don't have the comments anymore. Just, you know, chat with me. I want to talk to you about fantasy baseball. That's why I do this, right? Like, I ain't in it for the money, right? Like, the hourly rate that I get is not great. It's better than Nick's because he does this for 1 million hours, but it's not great. And so, you know, please reach out. Please talk to us about fantasy baseball, because if we didn't want to talk to people, like, there's plenty of people who have thoughts about fantasy baseball that never say them to anybody. They don't want to talk about fantasy baseball. I do. We do, right? That's why we talk about it on air and why we write these articles, to talk to you about it. So please reach out. Talk to me about fantasy baseball.
Yeah, and I'm Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on Twitter. I'm very active in the Pitcherlist Discord. Make sure to check that out if you haven't. My article every week is the Fab Insights column. I talk about, you know, who you should be bidding on in your NFBC format leagues, and as well as your other Fab leagues. And I'll also be very active with QB List, the Pitcherlist sister site for football season, later this year. So make sure you come hit me up on whether it's Twitter, whether it's in the Discord, all that good stuff. I'm there. So find me. Although next week, Scott, next week you might be rolling solo or have to find a fill in because I am headed to Las Vegas. My wife has a work convention and I have a poker trip. So it's funny how that works out.
Hopefully you're both making money.
That would be wonderful, but we'll see how it goes. For Scott, I'm Brett. Thanks again for tuning in to Hacks and Jacks. And thank you to all the guys in the chat who are actively participating. We appreciate you every week. We'll see you next week here on Hacks and Jacks.